We're turning again to Acts chapter 9. And perhaps with this portion of scripture open before us, we could once again bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider this subject tonight. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, again we thank thee for thy presence with us this evening. We thank thee for the word of God that we have read. And O God, as we come to deal with this subject tonight, we pray, Lord, that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, to say only those things that will be pleasing to thee. We thank thee that we have the Bible before us. And O God, we pray tonight that you would bless your holy word to every heart. Bless both saint and sinner alike. We pray especially for those here this evening who are not saved. Lord, that you would reveal unto them their need of salvation. We pray, O God, that you'll do it for your glory and your great name's sake. Lord, fill us now with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And to thee, Lord, we will give the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honour. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. It is right and proper, if someone says that they are saved, to want to see changes in their life. In other words, to look for evidence in their life that they have been truly saved by the grace of God. Now we all know that only God can see the heart. And at the end of the day, it is the heart that matters. Therefore, you and I can only judge a man by his actions and by his words. And while it is true that at times a man's actions may deceive us, nevertheless, a man's actions and words are how we judge him, because we cannot see his heart. However, if a person is truly saved by the grace of God, there will be outward changes in that person's life. There will be outward evidences that he or she is a child of God. Evidences and changes that will mark that person out as a true saint of God. In other words, there will be outward evidences that a work of grace has been done in their heart. While it is true that some Christians will grow faster than others spiritually, the truth of the matter is this: there will be some evident changes which will take place immediately in the life of every new convert. Of course, the question that we need to ask tonight is this: what are these changes? What are the marks of a true child of God? Well, as we consider here the conversion of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, I want to draw your attention very simply to three marks of a true child of God. And I pray that God will take his word and write them upon our hearts tonight. I pray that the message will encourage and strengthen the child of God. But I pray that it might challenge those in the gospel service tonight who are not saved and who are not born again of the Spirit of the Lord. And even this night, that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. First of all, I want you to notice verse 6. First of all, I want to draw your attention to a desire to do the will of God. One of the marks of a true child of God is that immediately they're saved, they will want to do the will of God. They will want to obey the word of God. Look what Saul of Tarsus says here. And I believe we can pinpoint his conversion here to this text. It says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" What a tremendous text of scripture. Immediately Saul of Tarsus was saved, he had a desire to do the will of God. You see, desiring to do the will of God was a mark of Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road. It was a clear evidence that he was born again of the Spirit of God. Everyone saw this change in Paul's life. They heard him make this statement in verse 6. They heard Paul say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I'm sure they were astonished when Paul spoke these words. Because before this, he was doing his own will. He was seeking to destroy the church of Christ and seeking to destroy the Christians in the land. But all of a sudden, something wonderful takes place in Saul's life and in Saul's heart. He is converted. And that's what we have here in this portion of Scripture. Therefore, they saw the change in Paul's life. Instead of wanting his own will, he now wanted the will of God for his life. In other words, there was true repentance in Paul's conversion. There was evangelical repentance in the life of Saul of Tarsus. You see, that's what we have there in that text of Scripture. When Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul was expressing that he had repented of his sin. And of course, he was a sinner, a vile sinner, a wicked sinner, a murderous sinner. But what a change, what a transformation has now taken over his life. Now he wants to do the will of God and he wants to serve the Lord. Friend, you say you're saved tonight. Well, do you want the will of God for your life? Do you want to know and do the will of God in your life? You see, the mark of a child of God is that they want to do God's will. And this desiring of God's will is proof that genuine repentance has taken place in your heart. What is genuine repentance? What is true repentance? Well, you've heard me give the definition before, but let me give the definition again tonight. Because you know we live in a world where preachers preach easy believism. In other words, they preach that you can come to Jesus and you can live like you want and you can live like you please. My friend, that's not true conversion. Because there can be no true conversion without true repentance. Some people believe they can be saved and go back into the pub again. Some people believe they can be saved and continue to live their old life again. Well, that's completely wrong and it's completely unscriptural. Because when you study not only this passage of Scripture, but every passage of Scripture that deals with conversion, you learn very quickly that true conversion means a change in the life. And that change comes about because of the power of the Holy Spirit entering into the life. And thank God when that change comes about, there is a desire on the part of the saved sinner to want to walk with God. They want to do the will of God. You see, true repentance, let me give you the definition, is godly repentance that brings about a change of mind and a change of direction in the heart and life of the sinner. Now I want you to keep your hand in Acts chapter 9 for a moment, and I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 for a moment, because there's two texts of Scripture, two verses that I want you to underline in your Bible. Here we have the Apostle Paul now, many years later after his conversion, and he gives us a definition of what true repentance is. Look with me there at 2 Corinthians 7 verse 9 and 10. Paul could say when writing to the saints at Corinth, Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow, listen to it, underline this verse, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. In other words, true repentance means turning away from your sin. And godly sorrow brings forth such true repentance. Godly sorrow, which leads to repentance, is from the heart. Whereas worldly sorrow is not true repentance. It is only superficial. Therefore, I may be sorry for my sin without truly repenting of my sin. That's worldly sorrow and does not lead to repentance. Let me give you an example of that. And I'm sure perhaps you have heard me give this example before. But before my father was saved, and he was a very heavy drinker before he was saved, there are many weekends that after he had come home and spent the weekend drinking heavenly and woke up and after being in a drunken stupor, he was sorry for his sin. He was sorry for his wild living. He was sorry for his heavy drinking. And of course, he would promise my mother that he would never go back to it again. But before the week was out, he was back at the drink again. Now, he was sorry for what he had done, but he had not repented what he had done. And it wasn't until he got saved. And I can remember the night when he did get saved. And I'll tell you this, that night I didn't even believe he had got saved. Because I knew the life that he had lived before his conversion, before that night. But the Lord did save him. And what a change came. He never went back to the pub again. He never lifted a glass of booze again. Why? Because it was godly sorrow unto repentance. And that's what's happening here, men and women, in the life of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9. He's not only being sorry for his sin, but he's repenting. He's turning away from his sin. And when there is true repentance, the sinner will desire to do God's will. And that's why Saul of Tarsus cried out, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" In a split second, in a moment of time. And of course, that's how quickly true conversion takes place in the life of the sinner. In a moment of time, this man was transformed by the power of God and changed for all eternity. The psalmist could say in Psalm 40 verse 6, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." In Psalm 143 verse 10, the psalmist said, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God." In Genesis 26 verse 5, it says, "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws." And in 1 Peter 4 verse 19, it says, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing, as unto a faithful Creator." And I could quote many other verses where God's servants were changed by the power of God. Their lives were transformed. And the moment their lives were transformed, they had this desire to do the will of God. My friend, I throw out the challenge tonight. You say you're saved. You say you're born again of the Spirit of God. Well, have you a desire to do the will of God? In your life, day by day, have you a desire, a holy desire, to want to obey the commandments of God and live according to the truth of God? It is so amazing here when you consider the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, to see this transforming change that took place in this man's life. And of course, if you're familiar, and I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the life of Saul of Tarsus before he was converted. He was a wicked, ungodly, unrighteous sinner who only wanted his own will, who only wanted to run after his own desires. And that's what he's doing on the Damascus Road as he heads towards Damascus. He wants to destroy the work of God and he wants to imprison the servants of God. Then all of a sudden, Christ steps into his life and he's saved in a moment, in a second of time. He's justified by grace. And we see the moment he's converted, he doesn't want his own will anymore. He wants God's will. "What wilt thou have me to do?" There's true repentance here, you see. But I want you to notice something else. The second mark of a true child of God, I believe, is that they will have a desire to commune with God. Now, take a look with me at verse 10 and 11 of Acts chapter 9. It says this, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." Now that's a very familiar text to many of us, I'm sure. Saul is just saved. He's back in Damascus now. And he's praying. And of course we know the story of how the Lord spoke to Ananias. That's what we have here in these verses. And told Ananias to go to Damascus, to go to a certain house and to find Saul of Tarsus. And how we would know him was by the fact that he was praying. Behold, he prayeth. You see, as soon as Saul of Tarsus became a child of God, he had a desire to pray. Not only had he a desire to do the will of God and to know the will of God and to obey the word of God, but he had a desire to seek the face of God. You see, true prayer flows from true conversion. Praying from the heart and communing with God around the throne of grace comes naturally to the true child of God. Although the new convert has still much to learn about praying, the truth of the matter is this: communing with God comes as natural to the new convert as breathing comes to a newborn child. What's the first thing a newborn child does? The moment it's born, it breathes. It breathes! My friend, the moment that you and I were saved, we began to pray. Indeed, we prayed that God would save us. And God did save us. And from that moment to this, the Lord has created within us a desire to commune with Him, to pray unto Him. Here we have another mark, therefore, of true conversion, of the true saint of God. The saved sinner will feel his need to have fellowship with his God around the throne of grace in prayer. Now let me ask you this question. You say you're saved. I don't doubt it. I can only judge you by your actions. God judges the heart. But have you a desire to pray? Have you a desire each morning you wake up to commune with God? Have you a desire as you live your life upon this earth to seek the face of God around the throne of grace? This is one of the marks of the true saint of God. Turn over to Acts for a moment. Acts 1. And look at verse 14. I'll just read the verse to you. You can underline the words. It says, "These all with one accord in prayer and supplication." Speaking there of the converts. Speaking there of those who were saved. And it says that they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Look at chapter 2 of Acts in verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Underline it. And in prayers. My, one of the marks of the early Christians in the book of Acts was that after they came to know Christ as their Savior and were gloriously converted, they had this burning desire to want to pray and to seek the face of God. Psalm 5 verse 2 says, listen to what the psalmist says. He says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, and unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." Psalm 54 verse 2, the psalmist says, "Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth." Psalm 61 verse 1, the psalmist said, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer." Isn't it wonderful, child of God? What an encouragement it is to know that the Lord has truly saved us because He has given to us a desire in our hearts to seek Him around the throne of grace. You know, friend, before I was saved, I had no desire to pray. no desire to say any type of prayers. But the moment the Lord saved me, and I didn't know much about the Bible, I didn't know much about conversion, I didn't know much about the things of God when I was saved. But I'll tell you this, the moment I was saved, I had a desire to pray. I had a desire to pray. Now, there was much I had to learn about prayer. And there's still much I have to learn about prayer. But thank God, the Lord gives every true child of God this burning desire in their heart. Do you have it tonight? Do you have it? The type of prayer that we're talking about here is true communion with God. The child of God speaking to the Lord from the heart, approaching God through Jesus Christ, the only mediator. And then the Lord speaking to his child through his word, the Holy Scriptures. My friend, do you know anything of this type of communion with God? Child of God, how often does the Lord hear our voice, our cry, and our prayer? How often does our prayer ascend unto him, and how often do we hear his voice speaking to us through the word of God? I pray that it is daily. What a privilege it is for you and I, child of God, each day that we live, to commune with God, and for God to commune with us. And how does God commune with us? Well, as we have said there, through the word, through his word. And that's why it is so important to search the Scriptures daily. To search the Scriptures daily. Paul spoke to the Lord. The moment he was saved, he cried unto the Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You will notice also that the Lord spoke to Saul of Tarsus. Take a look again at verse 6, and you'll see it. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So not only do we have Saul of Tarsus speaking to the Lord, crying unto the Lord, praying unto the Lord, but we have the Lord speaking to Saul. Behold, he prayeth. This is a mark of a child of God. This is a mark of a child of God. Now friend, if you haven't got these marks in your life, then one of two things has happened. Or one of two things is wrong. First of all, you're not saved. You're not saved. I don't care what your profession is. I don't care what you say. If you have no desire to do the will of God and no desire to pray, then you're either not saved or you're totally backslidden. Totally backslidden. But I'll tell you this. If you're totally backslidden, the Holy Spirit will be convicting you of your sin, that you're not praying and not doing the will of God. The Holy Spirit will be convicting you of your sin, that you're out of the will of God, because, as we said this morning, a true backslider, someone who was truly saved and has backslidden, cannot be happy going on in their sin, because the Lord will not allow them to go on in their sin and be happy. He will not. Now, there's something else I want you to notice. I want you to take a look at a verse that we didn't read yet. Look with me there at verse 22 of Acts chapter 9, and you'll see another mark of the true saint of God. Not only will the true saint of God have a desire to do God's will and a desire to pray and to seek the face of the Lord and to commune with God, but a true child of God will have a desire for spiritual growth in their Christian life. What does it say here about Saul of Tarsus? Well, it says this, but Saul increased, underline it, he increased the more in strength. Going on with God from strength to strength is a mark that you're a child of God. Paul had a desire to walk with God and to know more of Christ. This was an evidence of Paul's salvation, an evidence of Paul's conversion. No one increased more in spiritual strength after they were converted than Saul of Tarsus. He was a man who continually grew in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Paul always wanted to know more of Christ, his Savior. In other words, Paul had a desire to continually walk with God. And if you know anything about the earthly life of the Apostle Paul, then you will know that. you will know that. Paul said in Galatians 2 verse 20, listen to this. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And in Galatians 4 verse 24, Paul said, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 15, Paul said, when your faith is increased. In 2 Peter 3 verse 18, Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, Peter there was speaking to the saints of God. Therefore, one of the great evidences that a person is saved is that they will have this desire to go on with God or to go through with God. There's not so much preached about today about going through with God. But my friend, that message needs to be declared in this day and age in which we live. Go through with God thy vows to pay. Thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. And you know, the early saints, not only Paul, but in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they were those that went through with God. They continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly, as we have read already in Acts 2 verse 42. You know what the word continued there means? If you want to underline it in your Bible and just write a wee note beside it in Acts 2 verse 42. It means to persevere towards. To persevere towards. Therefore, the true convert will desire to continue in their walk and to continue well in their walk, their spiritual walk, day by day. They will have a desire to grow in grace. Acts 14 verse 21 says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Listen to this. Confirming, verse 22, Acts 14, confirming. That word confirming means to establish the truth about, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, after Paul saw people saved, he confirmed that they were truly saved. He looked, he observed to see, was there true grace in their lives? And how did he see it? Because he saw that they had a desire for the will of God. They had a desire to commune with God. And they had a desire to grow from strength to strength spiritually in their Christian walk with the Lord. My friend, are these evidences manifested in our lives? Are they manifested in your life? Your life. Now, I said at the beginning, I can't judge any man's heart. Only God can see the heart. I can judge a man only by his actions and by his words. At the end of the day, the Lord knows those that are his. But it's so important, my friend, young people, older people, so important that you make your calling and election sure. If you say you're saved, you tell me that you're converted, that's fine. But I'll be looking for the evidences. Now, that doesn't mean you can't make mistakes. And that doesn't mean that you'll not have to confess sin tomorrow. We all know that we're not going to be perfect until we get home to heaven. But there'll be these evidences. There'll be these evidences. You'll be a praying man or woman. You will be one who will seek to obey the word of God. You'll be one who will seek to continue in your Christian walk. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Underline it. You should take the time to go through the New Testament and mark out this word continue. Continue. Continue in them. For in doing this,
thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. My, what a text of scripture that is. In other words, Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, he was looking for evidence in Timothy's life that he was now a child of God and going on well with the Lord. Oh, child of God, my desire for you is that you will go on well with the Lord. That you will continue to serve the Lord. 2 Timothy 3 verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, we're saved through faith in Christ Jesus. We're saved when we repent of our sin and trust Christ alone as our Redeemer. But when we get saved, and when we are converted to Christ, and when that work of grace has been wrought in our hearts, when the Holy Spirit enters into us at conversion, my, there will be a change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Oh, that's why it is so important. That's why it is so important to keep short accounts with God. That's why it's so important that we pray today and hear the voice of God through His Word speaking to us today. Today. When is the last time you prayed? You say you're saved. When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you heard the voice of the Lord speaking to you? When's the last time you got down before God and cried unto Him, not my will, but thine be done? Oh, child of God, these are marks. We've only dealt with three of them tonight, but these are marks of the true saint of God. I pray tonight that if you are saved, that you will continue walking with Christ from day to day. And if your walk is not what it should be, then put that right with the Lord. And you don't need to come and see me to put it right. You need to go and see Him, for He's the one that we need to cry unto. My friend, if you're not saved, maybe you've been listening to this message tonight and you say, well, Mr. Gray, if these are the evidences, if these are the marks of a true saint of God, I haven't got these marks in my life. I haven't got these evidences in my life. I have no desire to pray. And I have no desire to do the will of God. And I have no desire to continue and grow from strength to strength in my Christian life. Then you need to get right with God tonight. You need to search your heart. And you need to pray unto God for mercy. And thank God if you do, the Lord will give you mercy. A desire to do the will of God. A desire to commune with God. A desire for spiritual growth. These are three of the marks of a true child of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee. And we praise thee tonight for thy word. O God, we thank thee, Lord, for this wonderful conversion. And yet, Lord, it's a model for all conversions. For, Lord, all true conversions create a change in the life because of a change in the heart. All true conversion brings a transformation to the outward because of the transformation in the inward. Oh God, I pray tonight that each one here, Lord, will be truly saved for time and for eternity. And Lord, if there are those here tonight and they've grown cold, oh God, draw them back to their first love. Draw them back into fellowship with thee again. We thank thee, Lord, that we found out this morning concerning that place called Calvary and the significance of Christ dying upon the cross to give us forgiveness and to give us that sweet fellowship with our Creator. And, oh God, I pray tonight, there's those here this evening and they know nothing of that sweet fellowship, know nothing of forgiveness. Lord, that even this night that they would come and trust Thee as their Redeemer. Oh God, help us in these days. Help us, Lord, not to take anything less, but God's best. And help us, Lord, not to expect anything but God's best in the life of the man, the woman who says they're saved. Lord, I pray that you'll defeat the devil. How the devil in these days would deceive men and women into thinking that they are ready for heaven. And oh God, how sad it is to see so many who profess to be saved, and yet they're living like they never were saved. They're living as if they're not saved. And Lord, maybe that's the reason they're living like that, because they're not saved. Oh God, I pray, come and bless your heart. Come and bless the hearts of your people. Come and bless the hearts and challenge the hearts of the sinner. And oh God, if there's those here tonight who are trusting in an empty, dead profession, maybe a prayer that they offered when they were a child, depending upon that, with no reality in their life concerning the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, I pray that you'll speak to them and draw them to Christ this evening. In Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen.